And last week, Luke brought an awesome word on the word and letting it marinate in your spirit and how important it is to for us to be in the word. I think reading the word and praying should be just as important to us as having dinner at night.
Yeah.
It should be part of our life. Prayer should be something we do all the time. Come on. And I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, wrestling with God. I don't know when last you've had a little wrestle with the Lord. I've been a pastor for 38 years now. And I've wrestled with God many, many times. I've had both my hips replaced. I have really. But I'm not limping. Thank God. But many times when faced with difficulties and problems and heartaches, there have been nights that I've wrestled with God until I've prayed through my problem and I can get up and be at peace with the Lord. Amen. So you hear and understand, I'm not talking about physically wrestling with God. I'm talking about spiritually coming to grips with an awesome God that wants to come to grips with you and me and take our lives and minister to us and lead us and direct our lives. If only we would just spend time with Him. I love wrestling. When I was a kid, my dad used to take me to the town hall in the city we grew up in, and we used to go watch wrestling, all-in wrestling. It wasn't all the stage stuff you see today. There was this guy named Apollo, and he wore a mask, and these other guys, and they used to really get stuck into each other. I loved it. So my dad and I used to wrestle a lot on the carpet. And, you know, the whole thing was here to try and get me to submit. But he was much bigger than me. And I tried to get him to submit. And as I got older, I started getting closer to getting him to submit. So he'd pin me down and say, "Do you submit?" "No." And the one last time we wrestled, he had me in a grip. He said, "Do you submit?" "No." And I don't know why, but I was letting him have it with my knee. I used dirty tactics, and I broke his rib. It's terrible, eh? We never wrestled again after that. For about 3 weeks, my dad, "You broke my rib." And I said, "Well, Adam also had a broken rib, and Eve was produced." But anyway, how's your prayer life? Praying is probably the most difficult thing to do. And I know there are many Christians that never pray or may just say grace. What do you have to say, Lord? I was really thankful for God's day. Amen. And mumble something when we pray. And many Christians don't have a prayer life. And, you know, for me, it's part of my life now. Praying and reading the word is part of my life. And I want to say thank you to Claire and Dan. They gave me that beautiful a journal for my journaling this year, and I've been journaling every day. And as I journal, I pray. I have my Bible reading, I journal with my Parker fountain pen that I love so much, even got my name on it. And then I journal and I pray as I'm journaling, and as I'm praying, I submit things to God and I wrestle with God and I tell Him about stuff. I report people sometimes. I do report that out of line. And, you know, it should be part of our lifestyle to pray and seek the Lord. And I'm not preaching this sermon to teach you how to pray. I'm not preaching this sermon to condemn you for not praying. I'm preaching this sermon to encourage you to start praying. Yeah. I've read so many books on prayer. Made no difference, really, until I prayed. Because the best way to learn to pray is to pray. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm not going to give you a teaching on how to pray. I'm just going to try and get you to pray. And let's read together from Genesis 32. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, I'm not sure if this was a physical wrestle or did he see it in a dream or a vision. It seems like it physically happened. I'm not sure. But it says, when he saw that he did not prevail, that was the angel of the Lord, He touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with God. And he said, "Let me go, for day breaks." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." This is a key to my message this morning. I will not let you go until you bless me. Lord, I'm not going to stop praying until I have your peace about this situation, my job situation, my marriage, my finances, this addiction in my life. Lord, this problem in my family. God, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. If only we can develop an attitude like that. Instead of just going to bed despondent and just saying a quick little prayer. No, we got to get to grips with God. We've got to get wrestling. Amen? And really allow God to become involved in our circumstances. We used to wear those little bracelets with push on, which said, pray until something happens. Come on, church. We need to pray. So he said to him, "What is your name?" Like God didn't know what Jacob's name was. And he says, "Jacob," which meant deceiver. We know he deceived his brother Esau. He stole his birthright, and he also stole his inheritance. And then he had to run away from home. And then God gave him this awesome wife. And eventually, a long story, he comes back and he's reconciled with his family. But, you know, his name was Jacob, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Bible speaks about. And he said, "Jacob." And he said, God said to him, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel." You know what Israel means? God will fight for you. Imagine that. I'm not Jacob the deceiver anymore. I now have God on my side. God is fighting for me. And he is. He's fighting for your time. He's fighting for your life, for your soul. He is. And then Jacob says to him, "Tell me your name, I pray." God's never had to tell anyone his name. He says, "Why do you ask me my name?" And he didn't respond. He said, and he blessed him then. He blessed him. And you know, it's awesome when you feel you've prayed through something. You've prayed until you feel the burden lift off you. And then you come to peace with God. And you know, I think we very seldom do that. We very seldom actually pray until the burden lifts off us. We keep the burden on us. We carry it. And you know, it's one of the big problems as Christians. And point number one, and I know it's hot. I'm going to go quick. It's time to fight the good fight of prayer. In reading the Word. Getting into the Word, and then praying the Word. Come on, church. Come on. Look what Ephesians 6 says. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand when the day of evil comes. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle." Whoa, Paul was a wrestler. Are you with me? You know, he wrestled against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand ye therefore. So often we're wrestling with our problems. We're wrestling with principalities. We're wrestling with the flesh instead of getting to grips with God and taking up a position. He says, stand therefore. Stand. We've got to reach a point in our lives where we can stand against the enemy. We can stand against the devil's wiles and the devil's schemes. Because just as God's got a plan, the devil has one. Come on, church. I'm excited about this message because I know it can revolutionize your life. And I know it's hard to pray. It's hard to pray. What about Saul on the road to Damascus? He had an incredible wrestling match with God. It says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground. My gosh. And he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. God wrestled him to the ground, flattened him, just like my dad used to do to me. And he says, who are you, Lord? He thought he was working for God. He thought he was on God's side. He thought he was doing the work of God by killing the Christians. And God says, man, this man's got zeal, but it's going in the wrong direction. I'm going to flatten him. And God strikes him to the ground. It happened to Sandra and I once with Dr. Tini Cronier in a conference. No one prayed for us. No one came and said, fire! Or waved a scarf or did something over us. No, we were sitting there in our thing, in our seats. And Tini Cronier was preaching and he walked up and down those aisles. And all of a sudden it was like someone hit us with a baseball bat. My wife too, thank goodness. And we found ourselves on the ground. I've never experienced anything since or before that in my life. It's like someone hit me with a baseball bat, and I was on the ground. And the Spirit of God began to minister to us that day, and it was life-changing for me. And I'm just telling you, there are times when God can wrestle you to the ground, when he's asking you to submit and say, Lord, I surrender. I submit, Lord. I surrender, Lord. I can't go on in my own strength, God. I surrender. That's all he wants from you, to submit. Come on. You see, so often we surrender into the devil instead of to God, and God's calling us to surrender to him. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And it says, yeah, and who are you, Lord? He says, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. You know, Ananias came and laid hands on him and the scales fell off his eyes and he could see spiritually. And from that day, he became the greatest man on the planet other than Jesus. And many countries were transformed through his ministry because he had an encounter with God. And God opened his spiritual eyes and he began to walk with the Lord. We have an untapped resource. We have an untapped treasure in heaven. It's called prayer. If only we would pray about things and seek the Lord. Point number two, Jesus was consistent in his prayer life. When all the people were baptized and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying. Take note, Jesus was always praying. Take note of that when you read the Bible, your New Testament. And it says, and the heavens were opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you are my beloved son and I am well pleased with you. Why? Because Jesus was praying when he was baptized. He didn't just go into the water. He was praying. He was speaking to his father saying, Father, thank you. I'm obeying you. I'm going to do what you want me to do. And as he came up out that water, man, the heavens were opened. Prayer opens the heavens. Maybe you've never experienced an open heaven in your life. Ezekiel said, the heavens were opened when I came before the Lord. John the disciple in Revelation 1 says, the heavens, he saw Jesus. And if we take the time, the heavens can be opened. Jesus was consistent in prayer. He prayed all night before he called his disciples. Do you know that? The whole night of prayer, Jesus prayed before he called his disciples. In Luke 9:29, at his transfiguration, while he was praying, his face began to glow and his garments became white. And Peter and John were there and they saw the glory of the Lord shining all around him. When you pray, you bring the glory of the Lord into your life. Some of you are looking at me with big eyes and thinking, is this guy going nuts? No, I'm not. This is real. It's not just for pastors. It's for every Christian. When you pray and seek the Lord, you bring God's glory into your life. To sing that song, glory came down. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. In the next slide, it says when Jesus was going to the cross, it says he went a little further and he fell on his face. And he prayed saying, oh my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. He was wrestling with God. I mean, he knew he had to die. But he's saying, Father, the anguish. I'm going to leave my disciples. Lord, these people I love so much. Father, is it possible that this cup can be passed from me? He was wrestling with the Father. And he said, but not my will, but thy will be done. The last thing Jesus did before he breathed his last breath was pray. Luke 23, 24, it says, when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It's the last thing he did. And I pray before I die, the last thing I do is pray. So I ask the Lord to give me that opportunity. My last breath, Jesus. Okay. F.B. Meyer said this, the great author of the book, The Secret Guides. He said, the great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. The greatest tragedy is a Christian that never prays and asks God for anything. I'm not judging anyone. I'm speaking to myself this morning. I said, Lord, help me to pray more. Hear about the man in the aeroplane. And he was 300 k's from the airport. And he phoned the air controller and he said, petrol's all leaked out of my tank. My engine's spluttering. Can you help me? And the controller replied, yes, I can help you. And he said, great. He said, say these words after me. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Sometimes we only pray in an emergency. It's like that fire extinguisher with a glass around it. We smash it. And only in emergencies do we pray. No. God wants us to be praying at all times. All times. We must pray with persistence. Point number three, if you're taking notes. Colossians 3, be persistent and devoted to prayer, being alert and focused in your prayer life with an attitude of thanksgiving. Be persistent. Don't give up. In the Greek text, it says, continue steadfastly in prayer. The world translated steadfastly means continue steadfastly can also be translated persist. Adhere firmly to, remain devoted to, and give unremitting care to prayer. We neglect our prayer lives. Honestly, I'm feeling so burdened about this morning. And your life can change so radically if you'll just begin to pray and seek the Lord. And I thank God for all of you who do pray. But I want to encourage you this morning, pray more. 1 Thessalonians says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Constantly. That doesn't mean to say you drive your car and say, blah, 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 blah. No, not keep your eyes open. You can watch and pray. Give thanks to God in all circumstances. This is the will of Christ for you. Watch and pray. Okay. Luke 18 verse 1 says, he was telling them in a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. When? At all times. That means all the time, doesn't it? We should always be praying. Not just for 5 minutes in the morning when you get up. It's not the length of your prayer that counts. It's the persistence of your prayer that counts. Some people say, well, I only pray once. God hears me. Why do I have to pray again? Well, scripturally, if I only asked my dad for something once, I probably wouldn't get it. But if I nagged him, my wife never nags me. But if I kept on asking him, eventually he'd say, okay, I'll give you that bicycle. That's why Jesus said in Luke 11, he says, this is where we find the promise that says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Each of these verbs are in the present tense. Active voice can be translated. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Keep on. Be persistent. Don't give up. We give up. We ask once and no. We're going to be persistent in prayer, folks. I want to encourage you. Jesus was grieved that his disciples could not even pray with him for 1 hour. And the next slide, please. And he warned them and he said, watch and, no, one back, sorry. Did I miss that one? The next one. All right, turn parable. It seems to be missing there. Jesus was grieved. He said, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Well, that doesn't just happen. We all get tempted, don't we? But he says, watch and pray so you will not enter into temptation. And there's certain things we shouldn't watch, guys. Okay. We shouldn't. But watch and pray. If you see something that is a problem to you, pray about it and commit it to the Lord. Don't just watch. Don't just look. It says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he says, be always on the watch. Pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. He's speaking about the end times. We should be watching as never before in these last days in which we're living on this planet. My brother and sister, we should be watching and praying. Because all you have to do is put the TV screen on and all you have to do is watch and see what's happening in our world to know that there's a devil out there that wants to bring destruction on our planet, on our country, on our people. We've got to watch and pray. We've got to be alert. Point number four, prayer opens our spiritual eyes. Elisha is in his bedroom and his servant comes in and he says, Master, he says, we are surrounded by the soldiers. The king was coming to kill Elisha. And Elisha says to him, his servant says, what shall we do? He said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Come on. If God be for us, who can be against us? Then Elisha prayed and said, oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. Because sometimes we're blinded to the truth. We're blinded to what's going on in the spiritual realm. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Elisha could see in the spiritual realm and he knew he was safe. He wasn't worried about the surrounding armies and the threat of death. He knew his life was safe in the arms of God. Come on, if only we could see spiritually. Lord, open our eyes. Prayer opens eyes, enabling us to see what God is doing, to see things we are blinded to without prayer. We speak to God, God answers, speaking to us, showing us, giving us direction. Point number five, we must pray, making intercession for others. How often do you just pray for yourself? Me, I, my problem. No, we should be praying for each other. I pray for you. I hope you pray for me. I do. I lift Luke and Priscilla up in prayer every day as our pastors. I pray for my family every day. I pray. I've got a prayer list. People in this church that I pray for. And intercessory prayer really means I'm praying for someone else. Isn't that true? And that's what Jesus did. In Isaiah 53:12, it says, he himself bore the sins of many and interceded for the transgressors. He interceded for our sins. Luke 22, Jesus tells Peter, I've prayed for you, Peter. I've prayed that your faith may not fail, because Jesus knew that Satan was about to come and tempt him. Jesus knows, and he prays for us. We should pray for one another. There's so much to pray for. Your family, make a list. I've got a few. Luke 23 says, Jesus was praying for others. Even on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When people are hurting you, Father, if they don't know what they're doing, they're in the darkness. Remember, you're in the light, they're in the darkness. Jesus interceded for us. In John 17, it says, he prayed for us. John 17 is Jesus' awesome prayer. He prays for us. In his priestly high prayer, listen to the intercessory nature. I ask on their behalf. Praying on your behalf and my behalf. Jesus is interceding for us. He says, I do not ask on behalf of the world, but those whom thou hast given me. He prayed for you and me in John chapter 17. And I've just put this little snippet in Daniel's prayer because it came to memory this morning as I was going through my sermon. Now Daniel prayed. Here he was, taken into captivity. taken into captivity in Babylon and taken away from his family, but he's making a stand for God. He's not mourning, he's not miserable. No, he's taking a stand for God among the Babylonians with King Nebuchadnezzar and the other kings there. I think he lived through the reign of three different kings. But he took a stand for God, and there are times where we really wrestled with God. Listen to this prayer. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, he's a bit cheeky. Look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear, open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. He's demanding. He's saying, God, listen. God, please act. Do something, Lord. I mean, he's not just Jesus, meek and mild. I'm in my small corner and you're in yours. Jesus bid me shine. Little Jesus, meek and mild. No, he's praying a spray of spiritual warfare. He's wrestling with God. God, do something. Their lives were at stake. Joseph too. And others' lives were at stake when it came to the king, with Joseph having a dream and no one could interpret the dream. And the king said, all those that can't interpret my dream, they'll be put to death. And Joseph said, I can interpret your dream, but not on my own strength. Only God can interpret your dream. And he says, I'll pray. And Joseph prays. And he interprets the dream. And he gets made prime minister of Egypt. You see, prayer opens the heavens. Prayer gives direction. And then, point number six, we must pray with thankfulness. How ungrateful aren't Christians? We should, I'm telling you, every time I get in my car, I thank God for my car. Every time I get in bed with my wife, I thank God for my, I do. I really do. I thank God he's given me a godly woman. Sandra, can you hear? She's in the kids' church. Next to the Holy Spirit, she convicts me of sin. I've got an awesome wife. Got an awesome wife. She's a godly woman, and I thank God for her. I used to complain a bit, but no more. Maybe a little bit. Ephesians 5:20 says, tells us with thanksgiving is the natural result of being filled and walking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 4:5 tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything with we should pray giving thanks to God. And making our petitions 19. With thanksgiving, we must be grateful. We must come humbly. I've got two more scriptures and I'm done. 7, we must repent of our prayerlessness. Luke's favorite scripture, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. We've got to humble ourselves. Say, Lord, forgive me for my prayerlessness. Forgive me, Lord, I haven't even spent 2 minutes a day praying. Forgive me, Lord, that I don't come into your presence. Church, we've got to pray. I'm talking about your personal prayer. I know we're going to have a week of prayer here for an hour each day. Don't overdo it, Luke. Oh, what a sacrifice. What is wrong with us? The Muslims pray 5 times a day. They don't care where they are. They'll put their blanket down. They were at Woodman Point last year, and all these Muslims down there. Next minute, they put their blankets down and Ali, whatever they do. But we as Christians struggle to pray, don't we? I want to encourage you with all my heart. It says, seek, pray, and seek my face, and turn from your wicked ways. One of our wicked ways is prayerlessness. And he says, I will hear from heaven. And will forgive their sin and heal their land. Once the people of God have humbled themselves, they must pray. Prayerlessness flows out of pride, thinking, I know better than God. I don't have to speak to God. I can handle this. Well, I can't handle this without God. A person that is self-sufficient doesn't see any need to pray. My last scripture. And it says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father. He's praying again. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you revealed them to babes. Lest we become like little children. We'll never enter the kingdom of God. I want to be like a little baby this morning and say, Lord, reveal these things to me. And he says, these things have been hidden from the wise. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. And then in verse 28, Jesus says this, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will. This is talking about prayer. Come into him. He says, take my yoke upon you. You've seen two yoke of oxen. Well, God's got a yoke for you, and you get yoked together with him. I'm not yoking. You get yoked together with him, and he carries your load. He carries your load. And it says, learn from me. How can we learn from him if we don't spend time with him? If we don't pray, if we don't seek the Lord? I want to encourage this week, as you go into this week, get into the Word. Pray. Speak to God. You say, I don't know what to pray. Well, get the Psalms and pray the Psalms. Or pray, Our Father who art in heaven. But start praying, brother. There are lots of prayers in the Bible. Just Google prayers in the Bible. There's no excuse not to pray. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's pray. Father, can we pray this prayer together? If you want to, pray this prayer. Father, thank you for challenging me today. Please forgive me of my prayerlessness. I make a commitment to seek you and to walk with you from this day forward. Please help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Open my eyes. Touch my heart so that I can pray and seek your face. I commit myself to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. What a wonderful encouragement for us to pray this week. Amen. As we go into this week, we've got 7 more days in which we can seek the Lord and come around his word. And then not just read the word, but then pray the word, as my dad was saying this morning, to actually pray it through. Amen. Pray it through. And as we do that, the Bible says that the Lord hears our prayer. And as we read in 2 Chronicles 7:14, that he hears our prayer, that he will heal our land. Amen. That he will actually be involved in that process. Can we just thank Pastor Pete this morning? That was a great message.